Time children ages 3 up through kindergarten age can be dismissed for children's church. And as they leave, I've asked our intern, Daniel Burdine, to pray for me this morning.
Not quite that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good to us. We come here as your people, not because we are worthy, but because you are worthy. You are worthy to be worshipped, and you are worthy to be praised. Lord, we pray that you would be with Pastor Brett. We thank you for his faithfulness in the Word and his faithfulness to pastor us year in and year out. And I just pray that you would help him as he preaches your Word, that you would use it to abound to your glory, and that we would be made more like you and be more and more in the image of your Son. Help us to go out in the world and be a light in an ever dark world, and that we would honor and glorify you as your people here in Medina. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are finishing our break from the book of Luke until next week, when our senior pastor, Seth Young, will be back to continue that series. In the meantime, we will read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 very shortly. I have never been terribly politically minded, especially when I was younger, although As I've gotten older, it has sucked me in a little bit more. This last election cycle sucked me in, and I paid a little bit more attention than I have in years past. And the one thing that got my attention was the president-elect's appointments to the different cabinet positions and ambassadors. And the one that really got my attention was Herschel Walker was appointed the ambassador to the Bahamas. Now, the reason why that jumped out at me is because I'm a football fan, and when I was young, Herschel Walker was a big name. He won the Heisman Trophy, and he is now in the political world. And the other reason it jumped out at me, because it was the Bahamas. And I'm thinking, how can I get that gig? I'll be the ambassador to the Bahamas. I don't know what that means, but I'll do it. There are other notable historical ambassadors you may know. Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin were ambassadors to France. John Adams and John Quincy Adams were ambassadors to England. Dan Rooney, who owned the Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers, was an ambassador to Ireland. And then I found this out, Shirley Temple, the child actress, apparently she was, when she was older, ambassador to the Czech Republic. Why do I bring this up? Well, there is in our passage a very clear statement about ambassadors. And I want to look at that this morning. And as I do, I want to compare and contrast three other notable ambassadors. Some you've heard of, maybe some you haven't. One is Joe Kennedy, who was the father of JFK, John, and Robert Kennedy. He was the ambassador to England in the years before and during World War II. William Dodd was an ambassador to Germany in those years. He was a historian and author. And the other notable ambassador is you. If you are a Christian, you are a notable, high-ranking ambassador, and we're going to consider that this morning. If you are following Christ, you are called by God to be his ambassador in this world for the kingdom of God. So let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. This is God's inspired word. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray one more time this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We pray that it would be so this morning by your Holy Spirit, and that you would teach us, that you would comfort us, you would challenge us. In short, Lord, you would work in our hearts, for we do need it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't want to insult you by defining what an ambassador is, but I'm going to anyway. There are actually two different senses to the word ambassador. The first sense is a person who acts as a representative or a promoter of an event or of a product. In this sense, we say she is a good ambassador for the school, or he is a poor ambassador of the company. That idea. And in the advertising world, we have now brand ambassadors, famous people who are ambassadors for that product. LeBron James is a brand ambassador for Nike. Taylor Swift, apparently, I am told, was a brand ambassador of Diet Coke. That kind of idea. But the second definition is really the one that Paul is more concerned with, as he uses this metaphor of an ambassador. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat of the highest rank sent by a leader or country to be its official representative in another foreign country, to another foreign country. It's in this official sense that we think about our role as ambassador. So if you can think of, just as Mike Huckabee was appointed to be the ambassador to Israel, if you're in Christ, you're appointed to be an ambassador for God. So I want to look at a little more deeply at that idea, that Christians are ambassadors for God in this world, and I want to do so again by comparing Joe Kennedy, William Dodd, and you. And hopefully that will make sense as we go on. But the first thing to consider is, what is the home country? What is the sending country? For both Joe Kennedy and William Dodd, it was the United States of America. For the Christian, you might be tempted to think it's the United States of America, but of course it's not. Your sending country, your home country, is the kingdom of God, is heaven. Paul says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we are from. That's where we belong. That's where we are going. It's our permanent home. Peter says it this way, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Peter says we are sojourners, we are exiles, we are aliens, we're strangers in this world because we don't belong to this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it, as the saying goes. So let's compare the sending country, or I mean the country sent to. Joe Kennedy was sent to England to represent America. William Dodd was sent to Germany. We are sent to this world. This is our embassy. It's not our permanent home. It's a cliche, but it's a cliche that's true. We're just passing through, aren't we? It's our temporary residence, we're just on our way to our home. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we can then neglect this world or our community. Some Christians in history have made that mistake, that because this isn't where we ultimately belong, that we don't care what happens to this world or even to the people of this world. Of course, That is a wrong understanding of Scripture. We are exiles in this world, like the exiles of old. If you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 29, I want to read a couple of verses there. In Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4, listen to how the Jewish exiles were to relate to the world that they were sent in, because they were removed from their homeland and exiled to a temporary home. It says in Jeremiah 29:4, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." What's he saying? He's saying you have been removed from your homeland for a time temporarily, and while you're in exile in this temporary country, live your lives. Contribute to the welfare of the community, of the place that you're living in, because as it improves, your lives will improve. So we, as believers in Christ, ambassadors for his kingdom, living temporarily in this world, are called to pray for it, to seek for its improvement, in order for our lives to be better in this temporary place. Another topic to consider is the authority behind the appointment. For both Joe Kennedy and William Dodd, it was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And our sending authority, of course, is God himself. Listen to verse 18 and 20 once again. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." We are ambassadors of the King of the universe, sent to represent his kingdom in this world. We are those high-ranking officials that are entrusted with a very significant task. It's no small task. And again, a cliche statement is nonetheless true, that we may be the only Bible that some people ever read, or we may be the only Jesus that some people will ever see. Listen to how William Barclay stated it. "It is the great responsibility of the ambassador to commend his country to the men amongst whom he is set. Here is the Christian's proud privilege and almost terrifying responsibility. The honor of Christ and of the church are in his hands. By his every word and action, he can make men think more or less of the church of which he is a member, and of the master whose he is and whom we must ever seek to serve. The honor of a king and a country is in our hands. His kingdom is judged by us." If you know anything about Joe Kennedy, he was not a good representative of the United States of America. In fact, Randolph Churchill, Winston Churchill's son, said about his behavior during World War II that, "I thought my daffodils were yellow until I met Joe Kennedy." Ouch. But Joe Kennedy was an example of apparently doing a poor job of representing his country and so on. One more topic to consider, and that is the relationship between the two countries. World War II times, the United States and the UK were, of course, on friendly terms. The US and Germany were not. But usually when one government sends an ambassador to another country, it means that they are on friendly terms, on friendly relations. And so it is with God in one sense, that he is still friendly with this world, isn't he? He is sending ambassadors. And he has blessed his creation with good things. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He so loved the world after all that he sent his son. So there is friendly relations in that sense. But in a more technical sense, there is hostile and strained relationship between the kingdom of God and this world. The reason for God sending the ambassadors in the first place is because ultimately the relationship between the kingdom of God and this world are not friendly. In fact, they are hostile and at war. And this is proven by the message that we as ambassadors are called to proclaim. We are his messengers, we are his spokesmen, and we bring a message from the king of the kingdom. We speak not our own opinions, nor do we speak on our own authority. We speak in his name, on his behalf, and we proclaim his values and truth. In fact, the way Paul states it is kind of, what's the word? Not overwhelming, but it's daunting. We speak for God to this world. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Once again, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. If you grew up in Michigan like I did, if you know anything about the city of Detroit, there's a familiar landmark there, the Ambassador Bridge. The Ambassador Bridge is a suspension bridge connecting the city of Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. And if I had done my homework ahead of time, I would have called this sermon the Ambassador Bridge, because that is, in a sense, what we are considered by God to be. We are a bridge. We are ambassadors that bridge the world of the kingdom of God to the world of this world. You are a bridge to God in this sense. So what is the message to a country in rebellion against God's kingdom? Paul says it very simply. Be reconciled to God. This is the message that we bring to the world. Be reconciled to God. The need for reconciliation applies that there is a relationship that's broken, in conflict, and even at war. And God said that there would be this all the way back in the garden, didn't he? When he said that he will put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between his offspring and hers. He anticipated that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness will be at odds and will be at war until the end. And our message is that people in this world are in conflict with God, that they're in fact enemies with God because of their sin. And we communicate to them that the only way to be reconciled as friends with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And when somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ, verse 21 becomes a reality for them. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I expect that here's where I may be losing some of you, that you may be thinking, I can be that good ambassador in the world by living out my faith in front of people, by doing good things, by being a good example. But I'm not good with the message part. I can preach the gospel at all times, and maybe when necessary use words. But don't ask me to verbally share the gospel. I'm not capable of that. I'm not trained to do that. I'm not gifted that way. And let's face it, some of us are not. If you know somebody who is gifted in those ways, it is incredibly encouraging. I have a friend in Pittsburgh. He's a longtime elder at the church that I served there. When you went to spend time with Jim, you knew that the gospel was going to come out. If you were eating lunch with him, the waitress was going to hear it. If you were golfing with him, the other guys in the foursome were eventually going to be faced with their own sin and rebellion and their need for Christ. And he does it in a way that wasn't, it was natural. You know, it wasn't forced. It wasn't mean-spirited. It's just part of his DNA. And that's not me, and it may not be you. But in your role and my role as ambassadors, we need to strive and pray that we might be more of that way. And not like Joe Kennedy or William Dodd. Joe Kennedy was removed from office as ambassador because he refused to represent accurately the U.S.'s message and policies against Hitler. And he was actually considered a defeatist, believing that there was no way Hitler could be defeated. America needed to accept the fact that we were going to lose as well as Europe. Or William Dodd, he didn't want to confront the evil Nazi regime either. And he actually took the position as the ambassador to Germany in those years before the Nazis came to power because he thought it would be an easy post that would allow him to finish some multi-volume history that he was writing. So he actually, this was his plan. The ambassadorship to Germany was his plan for semi-retirement. It's a bad calculation on his part. But unlike Kennedy and unlike Dodd, the Apostle Paul faced hardship and considered himself an ambassador despite his weaknesses, despite his circumstances. He writes in Ephesians 6:20, asking for prayer that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So even in prison, Paul saw his role as an ambassador and asked for prayer to proclaim that message boldly. What kind of an ambassador are you? What kind of an ambassador am I? Are you more like Joe Kennedy, refusing to speak on behalf of your homeland? Are you like William Dodd, who hoped to just remain behind the scenes and not be bothered by the message, to remain comfortable? Or like Paul, who, no matter what his circumstances brought, spoke the truth boldly on behalf of God? I understand I'm a pastor, and I have times that I hesitate speaking up for God. A few years ago, I had a friend ask me, kind of out of the blue, a question that kind of haunted me for a long time. And he asked this: when's the last time you shared Jesus with someone? It was a convicting moment for me. But Paul wore his imprisonment and suffering as a badge. He was proud of his persecution for the sake of the gospel. I don't know if he was thinking of this when he used that phrase, "I am an ambassador in chains." But apparently in those days, an ambassador would wear chains to a formal state event, some kind of an insignia that represented his king or his country. A chain, in that sense, was worn with distinction, with a sense of pride to who you would be representing. It was a decoration to be worn despite unpromising circumstances. If prison chains were no impediment to Paul in his communication of the kingdom, then what's in our way? What's our excuse? But remember this: you are an ambassador, whether you like it or not. If you are a Christian, you are an ambassador in this world. But you're not alone. in your role. You and I follow the one true ambassador, Jesus Christ, who left his Father's kingdom. He left his homeland to live and dwell among us in this world that was not his home. And yet he represented his Father's kingdom perfectly with his life. He spoke of it perfectly with his words. And it's he who sends us out to do his work and proclaim his message. John 20, "Peace be with you," he said. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And then, of course, Matthew 28, the familiar Great Commission passage. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we ought not be afraid to be his ambassador. We ought not be afraid of offending others with his message and his truth, because we go not only with the sanction of Jesus Christ, but knowing that he is with us by his Holy Spirit, and he will be with us forever. He sends us to do this work, but doesn't leave us alone to do this work. He does it alongside us. So as we prepare this morning for the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper is one of the means of grace that God uses to strengthen us to do such work in this world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the challenge, the privilege to be ambassadors of the King and of the kingdom in this world. We pray, Father, that we would, as a church, we would as individuals fulfill our role well, recognizing we cannot do it unless you are working in our lives. So we pray that you would do that, that you would continue your work through us and in us, even as we prepare for communion. Lord, may it strengthen us to do this work that you've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.